Hello again, and welcome to the Mike Hortson Show, Dr. Mike Hortson Program. I'm Dr. Mike. Glad to have you with me. Always a pleasure for me, and I really enjoy doing these shows, and I really enjoy the fact that you are taking the time out to listen to this program. I take it very serious about bringing you good information, and we've got a great guest today. Before you get, we get to that, I'd like to remind you that you can email me at mike@mikehortson.com with any suggestions for guests or show topics. This particular guest came from an email from a listener, and you're going to really, really get a kick out of Janet Smith Warfield. We're going to get to that in a minute. Also, these shows are available for free download, MP3s. You can download them by going to my website, mikehortson.com. And there's a podcast download link, and you can click on that, and it'll take you to a list of all the shows that we've done. We have over 200 shows that we've done with this program already. So there's lots and lots of good stuff, great information, and I urge you to go do that. And you can download them, put them on your MP3 player, put them on your iPod, share them with your friends, burn them on CDs, whatever you want to do. They're free. Hopefully they'll help you out. And if you do want to email me, my email is mike@mikehortson.com. So let's get to it. My guest is Janet Smith Warfield. My guest today is Janet Smith Warfield. Janet, thank you for being with us today.
Michael, I'm delighted to be speaking with you.
Janet, you got a great new book. And how did you get started on that?
The book actually started about 40 years ago when I had an unexpected mystical experience. At the time, I didn't even know what a mystical experience was. So that label comes from hindsight. I just knew that this experience was absolutely amazing, and I felt ecstatic because suddenly things that had seemed confusing to me suddenly in an instant fell into place, and it was in the context of a particular experience which I can describe to you in a linear fashion, which only gives you the surface description.
Okay.
Getting to the depths of the experience for me personally is a little bit more challenging. But what happened was, let me actually go back one story, if I may.
Sure.
I was having some challenges with my oldest son, who began wetting the bed shortly after my youngest son was born. Bill was 5 years old. Now, everybody knows, according to traditional wisdom, that a five-year-old is too old to wet the bed. This was frustrating to me because I had three... preschool children at the time, and I was a very, very busy mother. At first, I ignored the behavior. I thought maybe it would go away on its own. It didn't. I decided it was time to sit down and have a talk with Bill and explain to him why he was too old to wet the bed. That didn't work. The bed was still wet. I raised my voice. That didn't work. The bed was still wet. I even spanked him once, and the bed was still wet. And what was interesting was that I was getting out of control. Around that time, my mother gave me a book called Summerhill by an English schoolmaster, A.S. Neal. A.S. Neal had a very interesting way of dealing with, quote, problem children in his boarding school in England. When a child misbehaved, Neal gave the child a penny. And more often than not, the bad behavior stopped. Well, this made no sense to me whatsoever, but I was also pretty desperate. So I decided, okay, I'll give this a shot. I don't understand it. I don't know why it works. Maybe it won't work, but we'll try it. The next morning, Bill got up. His bed was soaked. His pajamas were soaked. I didn't say a word. I just went to my wallet, gave him the penny, and walked away. And he kind of looked at me as if to say, I wonder what's wrong with her this morning. But he never wet the bed again. And I could not stop thinking about this. It was so simple and so easy. So I began playing with this concept in other areas of my life. When the mystical experience happened, a man came to my door. He was extremely angry. He was angry with me. I don't remember. I don't remember who he was, what he wore, what the issue was. All I remember is the anger. In the past, I might have defended myself. I might have said, oh, well, why are you angry about a little thing like that? I didn't do any of those things. I just said, I am really sorry. What can I do to make this right? And just like that, the anger stopped. And when he left, we were friends. Now, what happened after that, as he was walking away, suddenly, out of some place, I don't know where or why, words popped into my head, words that I had learned as a child in Sunday school. Resist not evil, but turn the other cheek. And all of a sudden, just again like that, it's like a split second that these things happen. I understood the meaning of those words. And I had not understood them correctly. As a child, it made no sense to me. If somebody hits me on one side of the face, why should I turn the other side of my face to him and say, here, hit me again? But, and also, it sounded as if those words meant that I should be kind to other people and ignore my own thoughts and feelings. In the context of this experience, that's not what those words meant. My motivation for doing what I did with a man at the door was I wanted the anger to stop. So my own motivation was very self-serving, and I wanted to stay in peace. So just very, very fast, those words took on a totally different in-depth meaning for me. What we ended up with was a win-win solution. The man at the door won, and I won, and I gained huge insight into my own conduct and actions, and how simply by changing myself, I could change relationships. So it was a huge insight to me. The reason I call my experience, and this is a label, and words are really codes for experience. Right. The reason I call this a mystical experience was because after the fact, and I started reading all the literature I could get my hands on after this happened, after the fact I read William James' Varieties of Religious Experience, in which he talks about mystical experiences. The characteristics of a mystical experience are that it's ineffable. You can't really talk about it. Words just don't work. And I sure found that out fast when I tried talking about it to friends, and it was clear very fast. They hadn't the foggiest idea what I was talking about. So it's ineffable. It has a noetic quality. Somehow you just know that you know. Mm-hmm. It's transient. It happens and passes. You go back to chopping wood and hauling water, as the Chinese say. And it's also passive. It's not something you can will to happen. I hadn't willed this experience into my life. I didn't even know experiences like this existed. All I did was, through blind modeling, change my own conduct and then watch what happened. So it was just a totally new way for me to perceive my own life and my own relationships. I've spent about 40 years trying to figure out how to communicate this, which is how the book started. There are some words that I realized real fast don't work, like third-person language doesn't work very well. It tends to objectify external objects, which we have created with our minds. In effect, we take sensory data and we chop it up all sorts of different ways, and then we stick labels on it, and we probably all do it differently depending on our own unique experiences and perspectives. But and I went off on a tangent, and now I lost my main
thread. Well, that's all right. Give us the book's title, and how can we get a find it?
You can buy it on any one of my websites, but WordSculpturesPublishing.com is probably the best place to get it. You could get it in Amazon. It's being distributed now throughout the world. So if your bookstore doesn't have it, you simply ask them to get a copy.
Mm-hmm.
It's being distributed via Gazelle Publishers in the United Kingdom, and they distribute pretty much throughout the world. And I also have U.S. distributors. You can get it on Amazon.
We still need the title.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you for being my observer out there and noticing what I'm leaving out.
Yeah.
The title is Shift, Change Your Words, Change Your World.
Mm-hmm.
And these, what we're talking about truly is perception shifts, very sudden perception shifts, just like looking at an optical illusion. The lines on the paper don't change. Our sensory data doesn't change. What changes is the way our minds structure it and the way we perceive it and the emotions we connect to our perceptions and our thoughts and words. As soon as we notice that, then we have a choice and we can make changes in what it is we want to focus on,
mm-hmm.
and where we want to put all our energy. And trust me, and I know you know this, you do not want to be in negative energy. It is not a fun place to be.
And most people spend their whole life in it.
Well, it's kind of easy to do because we've all been programmed that way, or many of us have been programmed that way from the time we were children. We were told we'd been bad, we'd done something wrong, we weren't living up to our parents' standards, and that kind of sinks into the subconscious, and then we believe it. And one thing, I know you talk about reframing. But one thing that has been a really important reframing for me is to recognize that another person's negative, abusive words say absolutely nothing about me.
Right.
And who I am, unless I choose to agree with them and take that energy into who I am.
Right.
However, those same negative, abusive words say a volume about the person who is speaking those words and the energy that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
And one of a big lesson of my life is to either detach from that negative energy, or if I need to actually remove myself from very negative thinking, abusive people, because they drain my energy.
Right. And if somebody calls you an elephant, will you grow a trunk?
Not unless I want to.
You can't even do that if you want to, but you know, people believe they have this power over other people. The only person who has power over you is yourself, and that's
it. Well, no, you're absolutely right on that. And that is where our power is. When we start changing ourselves instead of trying to change the external world or other people, we sometimes indirectly affect other people because we are then in a different space and we interact energetically and dynamically differently with other people when we ourselves stay in a positive space. It also feels real good. It feels a heck of a lot better than anger and terror.
Well, you're in a place of power, and most people, when you start talking about blame game and you say, oh, it's all this person's fault, my boss's fault, my kid's fault, my mom's fault, my dad's fault, whoever's fault it is, you just throw your power out the window.
You're absolutely right. And when you start looking at what can I change in myself to bring me peace and bring me joy, then the dynamics of that whole relationship change.
Yeah, because if you have a negative issue with someone else, you know, a partner or relationship or friend or whatever, and you're having a problem with them, look to yourself first and see what you're bringing to that war.
Well, you may simply be bringing your presence to that war. One option is always to move out of the relationship.
Right.
If you need to stay for other reasons, then shield yourself from all that negativity. Maybe you need to stay in a marriage because you're financially dependent on your husband. Well, then shield yourself from the negative energy, but look for ways where you can both be taken care of financially and be in a non-abusive relationship.
Right. So give us some examples from your book that entice us into getting a copy of it.
Ooh.
I know there's some stuff in there.
You know, it's really hard for me to do that, Michael. What I find is, let me just suggest that anyone who wants to know how the book has affected readers, go to the Amazon website, read the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
They're very interesting. I never know how that book is going to affect another person, but it does change people's lives. Many people go back and read it two or three or four times, and they get something different the second or third or fourth time they go through. One of the comments is, you wonder how the book could have changed, but it's not the book that has changed. It's you who has changed as a result of your interaction with the words in the book.
Right. Well, I get negative reviews and positive reviews on some of my books, and it's like the golf book I have. You've got half the people hate it, the other half love it. And
exactly. And you don't know how a person is going to respond or react, but it doesn't matter because that is their responsibility, not yours.
Right.
My responsibility is simply to stay positive all the time, work on myself when I flip into some kind of negative energy, and I can just feel it in my body. It's like a contraction. And then move myself out of it. Let's talk about fear for just a minute, if
sure.
I may. I think everyone has moments of fear or terror. Here's a fast technique you can use to release the fear. When you feel fear, notice where your mind is. I can guarantee you your mind is in one of two places. It's either in the future, or it's out there on what somebody else may think, say, or do. When you're focusing, when your mind is in one of those two places, you will feel the fear. The way to counteract that, once you become aware of that, is to move back into the present moment. Just bring your mind back to where you are right now. The present moment is a very safe place. Maybe you're in your living room. Maybe you're looking at a beautiful sunset, or you have the ability to focus on a beautiful sunset. Maybe that's not where your head is. Your head's off on sabbatical someplace. Bring it back and just notice all the good things where you are right now. It totally shifts your energy. Then you ask yourself, well, what is my next step? What can I do right here and now that will continue to bring me peace and, as a result, all the people around me peace because of the effect of my positive energy on the people around me?
That's a good idea. I used that same sort of thinking when I was laying in a nursing home dying and had no hope of survival whatsoever from what all the experts told me. And so I said, okay, well, fine, if that's the deal I got and this is all I got left, how'd they make this blanket?
Yeah, exactly. And then your mind is back in the current moment. It is a safe place with good positive energy. As long as, just like the optical illusion, when you look at where you are and your surroundings, you are focusing on the good things in your life instead of the problems in your life. You're focusing on all the people who support you, all the physical things that support you, the roof over your head, the clothes on your body, the beautiful nature surrounding you, if you have that option, the friends who love you and send you Christmas cards and birthday cards, anything good in your life will just bring all that positive energy flow into who you are as a person. That allows you, as you know, oh my gosh, your story is amazing. That allows the body to heal.
Yeah.
And to be healthy and balanced.
That's how it got sick. All the negatives, that's what made you sick.
Yeah, exactly.
And disease.
If you start just noticing the connections between your mind and your body, you will notice that when your mind is focused on anything other than the present moment and what you can do with that, if your mind is focused on all the bad things other people are doing, you will feel tension in your body and you'll feel conflicted and your energy is contracted. Who wants that? I don't. This is all very self-serving, but it's also serving our communities, our families, and the entire planet. If each one of us would just bring this positive thinking and positive energy and functionality into our own lives, we would have an amazing, powerful, dynamic, creative interaction of unique human beings on this planet.
And we
would solve problems, or perhaps there would not be any problems.
Now, we know there's somebody listening to this program says, yeah, well, I just lost my job. How's that going to fix my situation? That all sounds nice. No, I can hear all of that because I've heard it so many times. And
I can hear all of that, too. And that's where that person's mindset is. And maybe it's painful to lose your job. However, I think it's the Chinese, maybe it's the yin-yang symbol, I'm not sure of the symbolism here, but in every challenge, there's an opportunity. I've lost jobs. I've lost a husband. I've lost maybe a very beautiful dream home. I've had huge betrayals in my life, and they haven't been fun when I've been going through them. But they've always been, first of all, a lesson about something I need to do differently the next time. And they've also moved me on to a much more, how shall I put this, fulfilling or powerful life. For example, I never would have gone to law school and become a lawyer had I stayed married to my first husband. And when I left, it was gut-wrenching, and I cried for weeks on end and felt totally torn apart and in full despair. I also knew it was something I needed to do. But had I not gone through that, I never would have gone on to be a lawyer. And I probably never would have written this book either.
That's right. So the opportunities come from something down the road that you're not even facing yet. So
you see it from hindsight. You don't see it from the pain that you're going through.
Yeah, and you can't fix anything that's already been, you've already gone through, so you've got now. So we're kind of making it to now.
No, we really can't fix it other than, as you put it, reframing the way you think about it.
Right.
And moving yourself into an attitude of forgiveness. I know that sounds easy. It's not easy. It's very challenging when we've been totally betrayed and hurt by another person. But you do it, again, you do it for yourself. You do it to free your own energy so you can move on with your own life and you allow the other person to travel along their own path, whatever that is. It doesn't mean that you stay in an abusive or bad relationship, a non-aligned relationship. You probably end it and move out of it. But you do forgive instead of living forever with your head in the past. Yeah. You're not effective with your head in the past.
Yeah, forgiveness does not mean approval.
Exactly. You're not approving the conduct, but you're forgiving the person and allowing them to live their life, and at the same time, you can go forward with your own life, supported by positive energy and a focus elsewhere other than on this failed relationship.
All right. Janet, the title of your book again?
Shift, Change Your Words, Change Your World.
And we can get that at Amazon.com.
Yes.
And if your local bookstore, just tell them at the counter if they don't have it on the shelf, and they can get a copy for you.
And yes, New Leaf Distributing carries it for one.
Oh, that's
so they can get it from New Leaf, at least in this country. They can get it from Gazelle and most other places throughout the world.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I really appreciate you taking time out. I know you're busy, busy, busy. And this is some great food for thought for people and some wonderful words to live by.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
I've enjoyed talking to you, Michael. And I will, I think, forever remain in awe over your story. If that isn't proof of the power of turning your life around through positive thinking, nothing is.
My guest has been Janet Smith Warfield. Thanks again, Janet.
You're very welcome.
How fun was that? Yeah, what a great guest. I want to thank you guys for taking the time to tune into this program, and I urge you to share these shows with your friends and your family. I think it will make your relationships with your friends and family better. There's a lot of great information available through my website, mike@mikehortson.com is my email address if you got some ideas for shows or guest suggestions. And mikehortson.com is obviously the website, so you can go there and find out about this show and the other stuff I do. I teach golf, and I also write books, and we have all kinds of good stuff that we do. We also have the other show that I do, Mike's Open Mic, which is recordings of local open mic performances that we have here in southwestern Michigan, and some great performers on there. So all the positive, good stuff, happy stuff that we try to do and share with you and make your life a little better, put a little more positive stuff on what we need in this world. And you do that one person at a time. So put a smile on your face. Become the best you can be. Go out and compliment two strangers today. You'll be surprised how it makes you feel better. All right. You guys take care. I'm Dr. Mike. Bye-bye.